taught by the Spirit, because it is the Spirit that will make the bride, prepare the bride for the coming of the Lord. And so, like all things, the Holy Spirit has to reveal the inner word to us. And that is why I'm calling this tonight, Have We Seen the Ark? And let's turn now to Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to look at verses 36 through to 39. And if you want to know about the end times, then this is one of the finest chapters to start with. In fact, I'd say to anybody, before you start reading the book of Revelation, an end time prophecy, start to read first Matthew 24 and 25. Because here Jesus laid a foundation in which you build on to understand eschatology, the last days. And so here in Matthew 24, and we'll take it up from verse 36. Here, Jesus in the context is speaking about nobody knows the actual hour, second or moment when the Lord is going to return. But he speaks about the fig tree, which of course speaks about Israel. And Israel is God's calendar, spiritual calendar, telling us, telling the church, the overcomers, that the time is drawing very near. And we now know that Israel is a nation. We now see that there are troubles in Israel. And she's now a nation after almost 2,000 years. And God is restoring Israel. His ancient people are going back. They're going back, I might add, not only because it's within their hearts to do so, but he's going back because God is going to meet with them and confirm to them that covenant that he made with Abraham. But before that, we know that there again, sadly, is to be a bloodbath. And the Antichrist is going to make war against them. And again, there is going to be an onslaught. But the very blood of the Jews coming before the mercy throne of God is going to bring back finally Messiah. And their eyes will be open and they will see the one whom they have pierced. And so we take this up in verse 36 of Matthew 24. And he says, But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. We clearly see from that verse, verse 38, that human nature in sin doesn't change. The nature of man is still the same. Sin is still the same. It might be packaged a bit differently, but fundamentally it is the same. Eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until that day the Lord said to Noah, and eight souls enter into the ark. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. And then he goes on, two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So he speaks about being watchful. And if you are watchful, then you are ready for the thief when he comes, because that's what you do. So we do get an inclination from this, we can glean from this, that Jesus says the overcomers, those who are pressing on, paying the price, are going to be watchful in the last days. And I believe that that is the key word that we need to stay with and remember. It's watchfulness. And to be watchful, you can't be watchful unless you are a man or woman who has a relationship with God, and you're also a man or woman of prayer. Those who do not have much of a prayer life are not watchful. And sadly, many Christians, only their praying is when they go to church and they join the rest of their brothers and sisters. But those who are watchful will also be men and women who are much in prayer, interceding, supplicating. Now, to see the ark spiritually is part of the preparation to be ready. You cannot really be ready unless you see this spiritual ark. And in order to see this spiritual ark, you then do something about it, because you have to enter spiritually into this ark. Remember, I've just read to you that Jesus has said that the last days will be like a type of Noah. And Noah, who built that ark by faith, he didn't know fully what was going to happen. But when they got in it and the rain started to come and the floods come, they soon began to realize then what it was all about and why he was to build that. But he had to build that by faith. He had to build that not by necessarily seeing anything straight away, but as he was building, so it was coming together gradually. And of course, in his building, he found himself to be virtually the only one. Virtually nobody else was following him. And don't we find that spiritually, like in our lives? It seems as though virtually no one else seems to want to follow. And when you talk about the end times, when you talk about that Jesus is coming, you talk about the great tribulation, that there's going to be a rise of an antichrist, they say, yes, 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 we've heard it all before. Even the early church said that, you know. It's like that ridicule. It's like that mocking. Now, but 20, 30 years ago, there was a great expectation that we were in the end times, that the Lord was coming soon through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. When the gifts were being restored to the church and people were getting baptized in the Spirit, but they've now fallen asleep. They've now got caught up with other things. And sadly, they're losing sight of the fact that we're so much nearer than we were even those 30 years ago. So spiritually, we have to see this ark, and to see this ark, we have to be prepared. It's a preparation. It's being made ready. Let's turn to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. And let's look at verses 32 to 37. Mark chapter 13, verses 32 to 37. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray. There we are. There's the two that go together, the watching and praying. For you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going on a far country, going to a far country, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeepers to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to you all, watch. Notice the key word through that is to watch. It's watching, and you can only be spiritually watching if you're a man or woman of prayer, of intercession. Because it's in prayer and intercession that much is revealed about the end times. People want deeper revelation in the Word of God, but you cannot get deeper revelation in the Word of God unless you pray, unless you pray over it. Pray over that which you hear through the anointing of the Spirit. And a lot of Christians are not prepared to do that. They want it all presented to them on a plate. But you have to take that which is on a plate and partake of it, eat of it, consume of it, and take it away and seek God and pray on this. And so we have to be on our guard. This is what we're told. We've got to be on our guard because we've got to be watchful in prayer, because we're told that many go to sleep. And I'm reminded of the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish. And there we see there's a sleeping and a slumbering. And when the bridegroom comes at midnight, then those who paid the price, who had their vessels and with their oil, they're ready to be able to go in to the marriage feast, because the light is there. The anointing, the preparation work has already been done. And then the others who are sleeping awake, and they want to find out where the others have got that extra anointing, that extra oil. And that's going to happen spiritually in this day. They're going to want to know, where have you got this? And you can only say, I'll tell you where I've got it. I've been going into my closet. I've been praying. I've been seeking God, interceding. And that's caused me to be watchful. And so this being our guard, being watchful, is that we might be delivered, separated from the world, the spirit of this age, and from those idols that will so try to distract us. Idols still try to distract Christians. Not just the same with the children of Israel. They fell into idolatry. Churches, Christians are constantly falling into idolatry. It's no different. And the reason very often why they're doing that is because they're not really men and women of prayer. And therefore you can't really be watchful, as Mark reveals to us here. So as Noah then built the ark by faith, so we have to walk by faith. And we've got to see this ark that God is building. Because if God is preparing the bride, he's preparing the body for end time ministry. We see that this body, his body, is like an ark, spiritually speaking. And we've got to make sure that we're in that ark. Let's just turn quickly to Genesis 6 verse 14, where we're reminded of Noah, who was called by God to build this ark. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 14. Here he says, make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. Well, obviously God had to show Noah this. God had to show the plan. He had to be a man who was led by the Spirit. And so as he began to appropriate and began to build this, so God began to work through his hands. It doesn't just happen, it doesn't just materialize. And so as we work in the vineyard, as we are faithful to the word, as we come to the meetings, we get under this word, so God likewise spiritually is going to build this ark, and you make up that ark spiritually. It's the body of Christ. Now the Spirit is saying to each one of us, do you know that you are in that ark? Because if you don't, you need to seek God. Because Noah and his family, those 8 souls, had to enter into that ark. And God told them to enter in, and the animals 2 by 2. And then it was God who closed that door. And it will be God who will close the door to this, to the overcomers, those who will go up in the rapture, the wise virgins. But it has to be revealed to you, because flesh and blood can't reveal these things. It can only come as you're watching and as you're praying and as you're seeking God and as you get into your closet, so God will open your eyes to see this. For example, in Hebrews chapter 11, in Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, Hebrews 11 verse 7, by faith Noah, having been divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So it's all appropriated by faith. We walk, we move by faith. It's not by sight. And faith is going to sort out the men from the boys. And this is why we stay with it. And if you walk by faith and you're a man or woman of faith, then by faith you're going to see this ark. And if you see this ark, you're going to enter into it. And it's called the deeper life. Through the baptism, there is a doorway into the deeper life. And that deeper life is the ark. That is the doorway. And it's a doorway into the fold, where you come in into that hedge of protection, where you come in, where you come on under the great shepherd whose name is Jesus, and not under some man or denomination or covering or elders, which so many believers are. They're under bondage. They're under law. God has released us from that. But we still have to move on. And so if we find ourselves having come out of Babylon, coming out of religion, we've got to enter into something. You can't just hang about and do your own thing. You have to be moving forward spiritually. And so if you come away from this, God's brought you away from it because he's showing you there's a promised land to possess. And that land, to possess it, we have to get into the ark. Because the ark is going to raise us above the spiritual floods that are going to come upon all the earth, the great tribulation. And nobody wants to be around on that day when God's wrath is seen upon the earth. No one wants to be around. And so we see that that is going to lift us up above those floods spiritually, just the same as it did for Noah and his family. But friends, this has to be revealed to you. I can share this, I can preach this, but you've got to know this spiritually. You have to take this away. You have to pray about this. You have to seek God about this. Because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And we're going to follow where Jesus is. And I can assure you, Jesus is taking us into the ark. Because one day, he being the door, is going to close that door. He is the door to that ark. And nobody can go far through a different way. And many are trying to do it. New Age, the ecumenical are trying to go through a different door. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except in or by or through me. I am the door. He is the doorway into the kingdom. The way into the kingdom of God is set in the body, in the church, you see. And God has to open your eyes to this, that you see this. And not only am I as seer, but you begin to experience it by overcoming and moving forward into this. So what do we glean then from all of this, what we've spoken about thus far? Well, there are several areas I'd like to talk about, what I believe we can glean from. And firstly, we glean by the fact that Noah found grace in the sight of God. We're only here tonight, brothers and sisters, wherever we are around the world, is because we have found grace in the sight of God. And that grace is sufficient for us to enter spiritually into this ark by faith. So it firstly takes grace, mercy. Why is it grace? Well, I will just say in passing, because then God gets all the glory. And we can boast in nothing. We can only appeal to the grace and mercy of God, that I am what I am by his grace and mercy. And those who truly received and tasted of that grace will know exactly what I'm talking about tonight, because it comes genuinely from the heart. So there's the first thing that we can glean. The second thing that we can glean about Noah is that Noah heard from God. And so we see with Noah there was a relationship. God was communicating with him. And God has to communicate with you. You have to hear him. You have to be still and hear that still small voice. And that is why he calls us into prayer, into watchfulness, so that that's a way of hearing what God is saying. So many Christians are so lost, they just don't know what God is saying to them. And a lot of the reason why they don't is because they have very little prayer life and consecration before him. So little wonder you can't really hear what he's saying. Are we hearing tonight through the word what he's saying to us, as he may be challenging us? So Noah heard from God. Another thing that we can glean about in this is Noah became productive. In other words, he worked. He worked away with his hands building that ark. And so God's called us to be productive, not just to laze around, not just to rely upon other people, but that we are productive in the house of God, and that we know our calling, our gifts. We know that we are baptized, we're set into the body to function. And there we work away. There we glorify God. So it's important that we are working spiritually, bringing this ark together so that it might be seen, because we're entering into it. That is what is going to save us and raise us above the floods of judgment. So we need to be productive. And that's why I keep saying that God is so practical. The gospel is a very practical gospel, and its teaching. And we never must forget that. Another area what we can glean from all of this is that he had faith not only to build the ark, but he also had faith for the saving of his family. And so God again shows us that we can believe for household salvation, and that we hold on in there, whatever it might look like, when we start to confess and believe for our loved ones, that God will have mercy. He will remember them on that day. And as I say so often, when you start believing for them, confessing them before God, they seem to go from bad to worse. So what do? Are you going to look at that? Are you going to be affected by that? Are you going to say to yourself, well, God hasn't answered my prayers? No, very often that happens. Because that's the powers of darkness trying to oppose you. It's trying to trip you up. It's trying to tell you, see, your loved ones are not really saved. Look at the state they've got into. If anything, they've got worse. Well, praise God. Count it all joy. That often can be actually a good sign. Another area that we can glean from Noah. He was faithful in staying with it until completion. That is the ark. And that is what God calls us to as well. Faithfulness. Endurance. Simply staying with it. Whatever happens, whatever said, whatever may be going on around you, no matter how bad it looks, God has called us to be resolute, to stay with it. Because God is using you to spiritually build that ark. That's why you stay with it and endure to the end, because it's going to be the means of your salvation, the means of you going up in the rapture, being the first fruits unto the Lord, the bride of Christ. You see, if you don't stay with it and endure, then how can God build? If Noah didn't stay with it, then that ark would never have saved them, 8 souls and the animals. It'd have been useless. It had been incomplete. So God is going to complete that work which he hath begun in us, as the word of God says. But it's only going to happen if you stay with it. And that again is why we walk by faith and not by sight, you see. Over the years, through the faith teaching and the deeper life, that has challenged us constantly, week after week after week, to enter in. But if you're going by feelings and emotions, then you're not going to enter in. The same as the children of Israel didn't enter into the promised land. They didn't enter into that rest by faith that was there for them. And we've got to start entering in to that rest by faith. Because it's by faith that this is built. Why do we need that rest? Why do we need to enter into that rest? As Hebrews 3:4 tells us. So that we can build. Because the rest of faith keeps us there, keeps us in the presence of God, keeps us believing, keeps us building, keeps us productive. If there isn't that rest of faith, then as James tells us, you are wavering. You're like the wave of the sea tossed to and fro. And sadly, so many Christians are tossed to and fro by faith. And that's why they can't embrace the promises of God. They can't stay with them and see those promises glorifying God through their life, which he wants to do. You know, Sunday I spoke about our motives before God, how that our motives are essential, and that to walk by faith, our motives have to be right. It's not that what we can get out of it, but everything that we receive, every blessing that we have, is for the glory of God. And we need to have a right heart and motive for that. We so often quote Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." But if we were to be truthful, we're seeking it because we want to get something out of it. I've paid the price. I've given up all for this discipleship, and I take the cross up daily and I follow him. At least I need to get something out of this as well. Forget it. That's the wrong motive. As I challenged you on Sunday, as God challenged me, if God says, are you still willing to seek the kingdom, even if you get nothing in return? Even if nothing is added to you, would you still be willing to seek my kingdom? Only you can answer that. But what does that expose? It exposes our attitudes, our motives. And you see, for faith to be answered, it needs to be a mustard seed of faith. And it needs to be a faith that is holy and with a pure and right motive. Can't work otherwise. And so we were very much challenged by that on Sunday. But here we are, we're building this ark. And so have we seen this ark by faith? Are we picking up the end times? Are we picking up the signs and the times? Are we looking, watching, praying? Are we sensitive to what's happening? Are we indeed seeing this falling away rapidly now? In everything, the standards in everything are rapidly falling away. There's probably more confusion now in Christendom than there ever has been. Many are coming, saying, I'm the Christ. What does that mean? What did Jesus say when he spoke about many who are coming, I'm the Christ, or many coming in my name? Was he saying that there were going to be antichrists who would come up and say, oh, I'm Jesus, by the way? Well, it's possible that they will. It's possible, we've certainly had it, but I think it's a little bit more subtle than that. I don't think actually the devil is quite so stupid, to be honest. I think Christ is, what is spoken of here is that there are those who say, who come saying I'm the Christ or whatever. They come doing that subtly in their teaching, drawing you in to believe that what they're saying is the mouthpiece of God. This is the word of God, and you are to believe this. And so many Christians are getting drawn in and deceived and drawn away because they're hearing this spirit that is speaking through. I am the Christ. I am the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And we're supposed to discern and test all these things, as it says in 1 John 4. Test them. Test the spirits. And sometimes that takes a while. You can't always just test it immediately. But how many Christians, how many believers really have that sensitivity in the spirit to test the spirit? That is why we need to know the word of God. And we need to know what is inspiring that word to speak. Whether indeed that is the Holy Spirit, the anointing, or it is another spirit that is speaking behind that. A Christ. Jesus said, many will come in my name. Many are using the name of Jesus. Many are praying in the name of Jesus. But the question is, what spirit is behind that? And we are to test those things. And just like in the days when Jesus came, and they couldn't test whether that was the Spirit of God that cast out that demon or healed that person or not, some got confused and said, no, he's doing it by Beelzebub. What was that revealing? They were completely confused. They couldn't discern, could they? And history repeating itself again. You are finding Christians or professing Christians today cannot discern and test the spirits. And so they're not sure. Because we need to be very careful if we're going to test the spirits. Because we need to make sure that that is not the Holy Spirit. Because if you're coming against the Holy Spirit, like a lot of the scribes and the Pharisees did, you're very close to blaspheming the Holy Spirit. So there needs to be a true spiritual discernment. And friends, that has to come by knowing the Spirit, by knowing God and God knowing you. It comes by relationship. It comes by commitment. It comes by covenant, consecration, holy lives. That is how you test. That is how a church tests. But let me warn you in that testing, because there are many professing Christians who think they are testing the Spirit, but some of them are getting very close to blaspheming. And why? Because they're confused in what they're trying to discern. You see, God's people, those who are entering into that ark, have no time to put their ears to anything else. They've heard the Master's voice. They heard what the Spirit is saying. They have discerned the anointing and they're busy. They're moving forward. They have got enough to occupy their mind. They are overcoming each day. They are walking by faith each day. And yet you've got a lot of believers who are drifting around, going from one place to the other, listening to this message, that message, going into this room, that room, and utterly confused. You won't find that with the overcomers. They are busy in the vineyard. They know their job. They know their calling. They know what is expected of them, and they have no time for anything else. Yes, you can call them blinkered. Yes, you can call them narrow, and that's what we've been called. But let me remind you that Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads into the kingdom of God. Broad is the way into hell, and many there be that go that way. So I make no apology if people think we're narrow, because Jesus already said it is. But we need to be very careful what we are putting our ears to in these days. And this is why we need to be men and women who are in prayer and who are watchful. Because if you are in prayer, the Holy Spirit's going to alert you, or he's going to tell you, no, I don't wish you to listen to that. Because there's truth with it, but there's also poison mixed with it as well. And that's exactly how the devil works. But I remind you again, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And in following them, that occupies them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And you've got no time to mess about with anything else, like so many professing Christians are. They're roaming around from one place to the other, confused. It is a sad state. But God has not called us to confusion. For the Holy Spirit says that he's given us a sound mind and heart and spirit. And the Holy Spirit doesn't work that way. And so often the Holy Spirit is very practical in the way that he works. I want to end with something that we know so very, very well. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 10 to 13. In Revelation chapter 3... Revelation 3, verses 10 to 13. And here again, the message to the Philadelphian church. Revelation chapter 3, verses 10 to 13. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. So Jesus here speaks about the whole world that is to test them. And that is the great tribulation. And he says, you've persevered, you've kept with it by faith. Just like Noah did when he built that ark. He says, I will also keep you from that hour of trial because you persevered. So God's going to bless that. Behold, I am coming quickly. Here he is, like the thief in the night. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. So here it is. He says, hold fast to it. Stay with it, that nobody deceives you, takes your crown. Don't follow like so many of the lost sheep, professing Christians who are groping, going around from place to place, so confused. He says, don't fall into that trap, but stay with what I've given you, that no man takes your crown. Why? Because I'm coming quickly. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. So he's going to make and is making pillars out of us, which speaks of strength, support, foundation. It speaks of God being able to build his church, the true body of Christ, by those pillars that can support the weight. Why? Because they've got little strength, but what they have persevered, they have stayed with it. And so God says, I will come quickly like a thief in the night, and I will preserve and I will keep you. And he shows us that we're going to be part, we're going to be in that temple, in the holies of holies with Jesus, on thrones with crowns, ruling and reigning with him. There's the promise. And he says, I will write on him my new name. So there'll be a new name, a glorified name in heaven. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So here we have. It reminds me of the title of what we call this. Have we seen the ark? Have you seen it? Are you hearing? Are you hearing what the Spirit is saying to the church? You are the church. You are the body of Christ. You should be hearing what the Spirit is saying today, now. Not 10 years ago, not 20 years ago. Yes, it might be an anointed message, but the point is, are you hearing today, now, what the Spirit is saying? Why does it say that? Why does it say today? Or maybe in 6 months' time, or next year? Well, it's today because it's today we're eating. Today, God has given us the manna. And if he tarries, he's going to give us manna again when we come together. That's why it's today. That's why it's now. the ever-present now with God. So we're eating now. We're taking this in now. It's giving us life now. And so as we take it in now, we're hearing what the Spirit wants us to hear. And this is vital for preparation. It's vital for building. It's vital for this spiritual ark that is going to take us above the floods of judgment. Why am I laboring in this? Because judgment is coming. It is at the door. And Jesus said first, judgment will begin first in the house of God. And it is happening, friends. Let's make no bones about it. Judgment is coming on the church now. Exposures are happening. He's shaking now the church before he shakes the heavens and the earth. And it's happening. How do I know it's happening? Because in this shaking, you are seeing fear manifesting even amongst professing Christians. You are seeing Christians groping around who are confused. Some who are damaged by man, by cults. We're seeing exposures of ministry. We're seeing those who are trying to control by greed, by leadership. We're seeing all forms of things, perversions coming out because God is shaking his house. But the overcomers will stand. The wise virgins will be prepared. And what I'm saying tonight will be no shock, will be no revelation to the true overcomers because they are knowing it. They are seeing it for themselves. Those that are offended, even tonight, who are listening to this, is because they're not seeing it. They're being carried by this shaking. This shaking, instead of working deliverance for them, is working fear. And that's what it'll do. It'll work two things. So you decide. Because God isn't going to stop shaking. He's going to shake and shake and shake. And so because he started to shake, the devil, the Antichrist, now is going to come forth and is coming forth. And he's going to build his false temple. And that's not far away. And he's doing it and preparing it through the Antichrist, through deceivers, because God is shaking. And so we need to be on our guards, friends. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have we seen the ark? That is the question. And if you're not sure, then you get in prayer and you get in the word and you start to read Matthew 24 and 25, exactly what came out of Jesus' mouth. Because he is right at the door. We are so near. I well believe that we are the generation that will see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the next great event for the church indeed is the rapture, the catching away. That is the next thing that is to take place in the Christian church. Saints, make sure you're ready, that you've got your vessel of oil, that you have enough oil to go forward. Because it's the oil of preparation. It's the oil of anointing. And that is what is going to take you through. That is what is going to build and get you spiritually into that ark. Are we going to be a wise virgin or a foolish virgin? You have the choice.